interrupt this exciting intro to maybe try a little something different. We'd like to develop a new, regularly running series, kind of like our minisodes, and would like you to be a part of it. Think of this as a sort of Dear Abby feature to Infants on Thrones. We'd like to collect and publish your open letters to God. We'd like you to ask him, or her, or it, or whatever, that question or series of questions that you've always been dying to ask, but never did. At least never in a podcast before. We'll be sure that he, or she, or it, or whatever gets your letter and provides an answer that all of us can benefit from. To be fair, though, it's a big, wacky world out there, and you never really know who or what is going to respond. It could be God, or the devil, or the departed spirit of Joseph Smith, or Zelf, the white Lamanite, or Santa Claus, or a pack of rabbit elves, or even the eternal spirit of Mike Tannehill himself. We're just going to have to roll the dice and see what happens. Because this is our work and our glory to bring to pass stuff like this. So, look for the Contact Us tab on our website and send us either a written or recorded letter to God. Come on, people. Let's get some answers.
This is Infants on Thrones.
This first letter comes from our good friend across the pond, Seb, who you may remember from such podcasts as The Problem of Good and this one. But take it away, Seb.
Dear God, I know that in your divine foreknowledge, you are already fully aware of the contents of this letter. In fact, given that this is the case, I was going to save myself the time and not bother writing it at all. But then I realized that that would mean that there would be no letter for you to be divinely precognizant of, so I decided to write it after all. I hope that the expanse of eternity has given you plenty of time to really mull it over. I'm writing to express a few concerns about Earth life which have been weighing on me lately. You appear to have placed me in a world which looks exactly like one in which you sort of don't really do anything at all. I mean, of course, I'm sure you do an awful lot. It would be rather silly if you set this whole existence thing going and then sat back and did absolutely nothing at all. It's just that everything you do always seems to be done in such a way that it would make more sense if it was just the direct result of maths and probability and physics and chemistry and stuff, and people just being people and behaving independently, rather than, you know, your own special mystical manipulation of the fabric of reality, which is obviously much cooler. I mean, it would be a lot more apparent that you were involved if, say, unbelievers never got spontaneous cancer remissions or false positive diagnoses, while religious amputees spontaneously grew back a limb from time to time and things like that. But maybe that's sort of what you were going for. Obviously, I'm sure you knew how everything would look to us down here, so I'm guessing that that was how you planned it. It just seems a little bit sneaky. I mean, here you are, making it look like you're not there and that you don't do anything. Well, of course you are, and you do. I suppose I should congratulate you on having pulled such a great trick. You've really got a lot of very bright people well and truly fooled. One really does just have to simply forget what the world looks like and just have faith in you. Good job on that. However, I can't help but wonder if you've actually been a bit tricky with some other things too. Well, clearly you have. That whole business with cutting off my hand if it offends me. That's all well and good, but if my other hand starts to offend me, what then? I can't very well just cut off my other hand, because then I won't have another hand to cut it off with. The whole thing's a bit silly. I'm pretty sure you actually want me to do the opposite, to love and embrace my body and not just start lopping off bits of it, even the offensive ones. This one's pretty obvious, but it leaves me wondering, in which less transparent situations are you pulling one over on me, just to see how much I'll credulously take at face value? Loving my neighbour, for instance. How can I be sure that's actually what you want me to do? I mean, I know that sort of just seems like the right sort of thing to do. And I know human society in the past has always been better and more successful when people have done more loving of their neighbours and less hating of them. Particularly when they worship the wrong god or have the wrong skin colour or fancy the wrong gender and such like. But maybe this is another one of your tests. Maybe you want me to have the faith to persecute and discriminate my neighbour, even though it looks like a lot like the wrong sort of thing to be doing. Maybe when you said, don't do adulterating and fornicating, you actually made my instincts towards sexual fidelity an illusion for the weak-minded, and you actually want me to copulate with as many underage girls and other men's wives as I can get away with. I raise all this to make the point that I'm a bit confused about which parameters of your nature and your will should be accepted at face value, and which ones you just made up just to test me. I'd be much obliged if you could clarify this. I have no preference as to the specifics of how you choose to clear this all up for me. I simply know that you would know, in your divine wisdom, exactly how to resolve all confusion to my complete satisfaction. So I ask you to employ whatever method will allow this, because, as you are no doubt aware, it will be such a great step forward in our relationship. And I know that a better relationship with me is definitely what you want. Unless, of course, that's just what you've made it look like, and you don't actually want to improve our relationship, and in that case, I suppose you can just sod off. Yours sincerely, Seb. P.S. If it is actually your will for me not to know you, then I can further distance myself from you by contradicting your will, in which case I would still ask you to clarify your will to my full satisfaction so that I can contradict it better. Thanks in advance.
Dear Seb, sorry for the delay in our response.
We have been,
busy.
Actually, we were going to make a divine time difference joke about a few seconds of our time seeming like weeks and months to you. But in our immense understanding and highly developed intuition, we saw how lame that joke would be, and sort of knowing you the way we sort of do, we figured that you would simply rather be told about the joke than to be told the joke itself. We totally nailed that one, right?
You nailed it.
You nailed it.
No, you.
Unfortunately,
we have to start by telling you that
you have got it all wrong.
It's sort of hilarious, really.
You talk about my divine will as if you have any idea what that even means.
As if my will,
or our will, really, is the ultimate driving force in the universe.
Or worse,
the ultimate determinant of human triumph
or human suffering.
Little dude, your will is far, far more important than ours.
At least to you and to everyone around you.
We have already... how would you say it? We have already made it. What are you going to do? Just forget everything you think you know about us, because the only things you know...
Or think you know.
Good point.
Thank you. Okay, now shut up.
...are what you have heard other little people tell you. And some of them have been quite certain...
And authoritarian at times, but... Since you asked...
You did ask, didn't you?
Let me give you a little tip
to know who to believe and who not to believe.
No, it doesn't involve shaking hands.
That would be stupid.
Which, in and of itself, should be a big giveaway.
Now, if someone comes to you with any claim of divine knowledge or authority in any area,
big or small, you can know that they are... Oh, how would you best say it?
You can know that they are
full of shit. Now, the ones who claim they don't know anything at all, they're the closest to figuring it out. Although it's a very close second to those who have simply rejected everything they have ever heard or ever will hear about us.
These are the ones closest to the truth.
So, with that in mind, let us address a few of your specifics. Divine foreknowledge. Now, that is amusing. It's also terribly, terribly horrifying.
Who do you think came up with that idea?
But very clever play on it, though, in your introduction to us.
The expanse of eternity to mull it over, indeed. Very funny.
As if.
Now, the truth is that you, Sam, and all the other life forms in your eye of existence are just a tiny blip in our mirror throw. or our communal energy awareness radar thingy. We don't really start paying all that much attention to any of you until you become far, far more than you presently are. Not until you are nearly ready to... Oh, I hate saying this in this way because your words are so cheesy.
Oh, see... But not until you are ready to merge, to come play in our playground, in a sense.
And you are so far from that right now, you shouldn't even worry about it. We'll let you know when you need to start planning for it. That is, if we ever decide to actually invite you.
But that's when you really start getting our attention.
Until then, you are merely a small, inconsistent buzz in a distant corner, sort of like that... bacterium sadly clinging to the corner of the wall right behind you.
Divine foreknowledge?
Omniscience?
With all the angst every one of you carries around inside of you...
Every minute of
every day!
Thank God, no. Now, you seem especially concerned that we are somehow responsible for placing you in this world in the first place.
And then somehow failing to reveal ourselves or our great divine plan for your life to you.
Get over yourself, Seb.
We didn't do that Adam and Eve Genesis thing.
Any more than we were those Japanese gods who supposedly formed those islands out of drops of our own jizz. You know that Dust in the Wind song?
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone.
Spend a bit more time listening to it
and exploring all the possible implications for you and for your life.
Dust in the wind, all they are is dust in the wind.
And we don't mean to get all kooky, wooey, new agey on you, but
when you die,
you die.
But your energy kicks around and
gets repurposed.
Cosmic dust in the cosmic wind, don't you know?
And no one really seems to understand that. Frankly, at this point for you, cosmic dust isn't all that interesting to us. It's sort of like this.
You think it would be silly if we set this all up and then sat back and did absolutely nothing at all. Well, that's pretty much what we think about you. That is, when and if we think about you at all.
But it sounds like you're figuring this all out. No, we don't really care if you know us at all or not. You don't even know yourself. And yes, life is simply a direct result of life.
Duh.
Regardless of all the cute ways you've concocted to measure and quantify it.
So stop deluding yourself that there is anything specifically that I or we are going for.
Just navigate the chaos. Love your neighbor if you want.
Or don't. Turn the other cheek.
Or not.
It's no skin off our non-anthropomorphic noses. So chin up and all that.
Ta-ta and cheerio.
Sodding off for now. And oh yes.
Call up.
Now that's a hint.
Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.